We appreciate these songs and knowing that we all, if we just keep walking and keep holding and keep trusting in the Lord, that He's got everything that we stand in need of. As we said on Sunday, He provides every need that we have. And He said that there is no want to them that love Him. And you've heard me say this many times over the years, that not only does God supply our wants, but our needs, but He supplies many of our wants along life's way. And I thank Him for it tonight. In the book of Galatians, in the 5th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this evening. And I do need your prayers for the time that we'll be before you. I didn't mention Colleen and Rose. We need to remember them in our prayers, that God would just bless them and that they would be able to be back with us soon. And if it doesn't work out that way, then, Rob, we need to probably go over and visit with them as well. We've just got so many folks today that we just want to be with. And we enjoy our times together. And when we don't have this privilege, it drives a wedge in our hearts. And so let's remember them tonight. The book of Galatians in the 5th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word. Go with me, if you would, down to reading just verse 22 in your hearing tonight. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And then verse 23 as well. "Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And just reading those two verses tonight, and it's from the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. If I could, for a few minutes of time, I'd like to use from that 22nd verse for our text, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, because when we look at all the things that we have, that these scriptures talks about, that it talks about that there is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance. All of those are products, if you'll have it, works that's provided, benefits or provisions that comes from having the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we have none of these, Brother Jim. But with the Spirit of God, He says that we can have the good things that we need in our lives and in our church as well. He says over in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter in the 9th verse, He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That when we have the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives, in our homes and in our churches, it makes it different than what everybody else has to go through, what everybody else is looking at, because without the fruits of the Spirit, then I have to say that in contrast to that, many have the fruit of the devil. Fruit does not necessarily represent a, and I don't know how to describe it, other than say a fruit. It's not a vegetable, but a fruit that we think about, but it means that it's a provision, something that is provided for us. It's the fruit of the Spirit that is given to us. And the Bible says that we ought to try the spirits because they are many. But God is only has one Spirit. He says that God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So many times I've been thinking this week, and I guess that's why God laid this upon our hearts, is that there are many different types of spirits that people get all wrapped up in. We heard about the young man out in Colorado and all the events even here in our backyard this past weekend. And many folks contribute that to, that's just the way that people are today. If we do not have the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives, then we have the fruit of the devil that is permeating our minds, our lives, and our actions, to that we are led, people that are led to do these things. It's not that they just woke up and said that he's going to do this. I believe it's the devil that is working in their hearts and their minds, and it's driving them to this. And And that's why so many times, and I didn't come to preach about that or get political tonight, is that many times they use the defense of insanity. And whether we believe in that it's true or not, I don't know about the insanity plea. I believe it's just the work of the devil, because they don't have the Spirit of God in their lives. The Bible says that we are subject to one master or another. There are only two masters in this world, that in this universe, and that is God and the devil. We're either with God and we have the fruit of the Spirit, or we're with the devil. It's just that plain and simple tonight. But when I was thinking this week about the fruit of the Spirit, or about the Spirit that God has, it's not every spirit that we see that is of God. In fact, it's not everything that is done in God's name that is of God. Because there are many things that's done that people proclaim that it was in the name of God, that God looks down, and no doubt He frowns upon it because God had nothing to do with it. That's why we need to be careful not to follow what man says is the fruit of the Spirit of God, but to know in our own hearts what the fruit of the Spirit of God is, and to be able to tell when the Spirit isn't working right. And people say, what do you mean by it isn't working right? How many of you have ever been in a service that you look around and you wonder what kind of spirit is driving the service? Sometimes it's a spirit of the flesh, to where people get all worked up, Brother Ott, because of something that has happened. Some bad story, some bad incident, some bad accident. And the Bible says that if we get all wrapped up in that spirit, that it needs to be repented of. That we need to stay away from that kind of spirit. And then there are those that get wrapped up in the spirit of song. There are many people that will go to church as long as they're singing. But when the preaching starts, service is over. And I appreciate good singing, and I thank God we've been blessed with the talent that we have here at the church. But Sister Ruby, it takes more than the spirit of a song to get people to conviction in their life. It wasn't a song that condemned me. It was the Word of God that broke my heart and showed me where I lived at. And so many times we see people get wrapped up in these spirits instead of the true spirit. Anything that does not bear these fruits is not of the Spirit of God. Sometimes I'm amazed that, as I said as we was talking about some of these that's not able to be here, don't you sometimes wonder how in the world that you could love somebody as much as you do? And it's only because people say, well, I love those that's kin to me, my flesh. But the Bible teaches us, and we know this for a fact, that when God puts a church together, He puts a love in there that you can't explain. Because it's not our love, it's His love. It's the love that the Spirit puts in our hearts and in our lives that lets us know that's our brother or sister, and we care so much for them and about them. Whenever bad news comes to your house, the Bible says that all of our hearts should break. Whenever good news comes, we all ought to celebrate in the good news. And I celebrate with Sister Joan tonight. I celebrate that Mary made it back home. I celebrate when good things happen. Some of y'all start talking about your gardens, and I see your eyes light up, and I get excited talking to you about it. And sometimes when you tell me your garden's not doing too good, I get depressed with you. See, that's what the fruit of the Spirit, it'll make you love somebody whether things are good or whether they're bad. It'll give you true love. And when we have one that's missing, there's a part of us that's missing in the service. And He says that we have this fruit of the Spirit that brings us love, a divine love like we can't even explain. It's not a love like the world has, because the world only loves you when the circumstances, I call it circumstantial love. When the circumstances are right, they love you. And when they change, they no longer love you. But I like people that love you all the time. How many of you know I got faults? You can raise your hands. Deacon raised his hand first. But you know, even though you know I got faults, you still love me. We've all got faults. But the song says that God looked beyond our faults and saw our need and gave us love that is beyond comprehension. That we can't explain it. All we know is that because He first loved me and gave me life, that's why I love the way that we love today. But He gives us love and He gives us joy that the writer says in my Bible in the footnote, he says it like this, that it's delight over blessings received or expected. How many of us has joy because of blessings that we've already received from the Lord? People say, you keep going back and talking about things that happened back when you was real young. Folks, when you go back, you begin to add it up. How can we not go back and thank God yet another time for blessing us in the way that He did? And then I read that today and it excited my heart, because it's not that we have joy just for what we've received, but we have joy for what we're expecting to receive. How many of you know God has a storehouse of blessings for His people? How many of you are expecting to receive a blessing from the Lord? And people say, well, how can I expect it? Because He says the fruit of the Spirit gives us joy to know that we can expect God to provide the things that we have need of. If some of you have made prayer requests tonight, and others we've talked to in days past, and we all have things that we're depending upon God to take care of. It ought not to surprise us when God answers our prayers. Because we ought to have that joy, because it's a fruit of the Spirit that gives us joy, that even when you're going through a trying time, you still don't have to be. You've seen people, and you know people like this, and I'm not casting stones tonight, but you've seen people, you can tell when things aren't right. You don't have to talk to them. You can just look at their face, Brother Billy, and you can tell something ain't right. And if things ain't going their way, now we all have that countenance every once in a while, but if things ain't going their way all the time the way they think it is, you can tell it from afar off. And some of them, you just want to walk to the other side of the church because of the stories that you'll have to hear. We don't have any folks like that in our church. And some people say, well, do you go to the same church I go to? But I say that because I appreciate what we have in our church. We all can go on with a laundry list of things that's wrong, but folks, the Bible says it's for us to meditate on the things which are right, the things that are good, and it will give us joy even in the bad times that we have to go through. And He says not just joy, but He gives us peace that is a state of quietness, a state of rest that we have. I go back to a picture that I saw many years ago, and it talked about peace. And when you think about this peace, we all, when things are going good, we can talk about having peace in our hearts, peace in our lives. But I saw a picture once, and it showed a great storm that was going, the waves, it was an ocean side, and the waves were raging high and hard against this rock edge. And you think, what in the world could be peaceful about that? But then you looked in the inset, and there was a small picture. You had to look up close to see it. And there was an eagle that was sitting in there in a little cutout in the rock, just as peaceful as could be. That ought to be us when we have the fruit of the Spirit, that no matter how high the waves are raging, as long as we have the Lord, we're going to make it through. I will make it home. I will make it through. People say, Roger, sometimes You sound like that you're trying to convince us of this. I know what the fruit of the Spirit can do. I know that it can give you peace. If it wasn't, many of us would have already lost our minds. Many of us would have already been looking for some other place to try to find the answers to life's problems that we face each and every day. But there's only one place that I found that gives me the peace, the real peace, the true peace that I have need of, and that's the fruit of the Spirit of God, whether it be here in service, down on my knees praying, or sometimes it's just me and the Lord by ourselves. And that gives me peace that no matter what else is going on around me, I can have peace because I have the fruit of the Spirit. Can I put this in before I go on? You don't have to be in the church house to have the fruit of the Spirit of God. I'm glad that when He saves us, He puts a spirit down inside of us that He can talk to no matter where we're at. That we have intercessory power, that no matter what time of the day. If only time I had peace and love and all these other attributes was when I was in church, I'd be a miserable person. No wonder people sometimes look at us and wonder what's going on, because folks, when you truly have the Spirit of God in your life, you don't have to act like the world acts. You don't have to behave that way. Sometimes I look at people, and this is in times past. I need to state that up front. That you look at people, and when you see them in church, they're one way. And when you see them outside the church, they're another way. It's because when they was in church, they got all wrapped up in the Spirit that was in the church. And when they're outside the church, they don't have the Spirit of God. We ought to be the same on the outside of this building as we are on the inside of the building. And people say, that makes it hard on us. Listen to what he said, that we ought to be peaceful people. We ought to be joyful people. We ought to be loving people. We ought to be long-suffering. And I've preached on this in times past. But this long-suffering, it means to us that no matter what's going on, that there's no murmuring or resentment. There's no talking under the lip. How many of us growing up, when mom or dad would correct us, we would do what they told us to, but we would talk under our lip. Some of you smile real big because you know that you did it. Some of you may still do it. But when he talks about having long suffering, it's that we're not looking for us to be able to face the frailties of life and the injuries that come, the offenses that comes, when other people come against us and try to tear us down, that we're not looking with resentment toward them, but we are long suffering. The Bible says that if a brother, if a man was to hit you up on one side of the cheek, what are we supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm long suffering. Other times I'm not so. It depends on what spirit it was done in and what was going on. But I've heard them say since I was young that sometimes it takes the bigger man just to walk away. That's hard to do, is it not? But when you have the Spirit of God in you, you have the fruit of the Spirit, it makes it easier for us to be able to walk away regardless of what is being said. He says that we have gentleness, it's that we're even tempered, and that we are soft, gentle and kind. And sometimes it's hard to be gentle, have gentleness. When somebody is railing against you, it's hard to be even tempered. Anybody ever lost your temper besides me? I'll get y'all to help me on a Wednesday night. Every time I've lost my temper, I look back and I regret it. Because most of the time we'll do or say something that we regret. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is that even though it may hurt our pride, we can just turn and walk away. Stay and keep our self-composure. Keep our composure to where we don't lose it, so to speak. And we all know what goodness is that even though they don't deserve it, even though we might think that we've done enough, it's still to show goodness to somebody. How many times has God shown goodness to us? That when we didn't deserve it, that God came back and showed us pardon and forgiveness, gave us things that we didn't deserve. He showed goodness to us, and folks, we certainly ought to be able to show this world goodness. And people say, well, there's got to be a limit on how much goodness you can show somebody. There's been people that I've said, and I've even told Becky this. Anybody else ever said anything that had to retract it? I said, I've helped them for the last time. And the next time they show up, you end up helping them again. Sometimes I wonder if we're helping them or if we're hurting them. But the Bible says to show goodness. if they're hungry, if they need fuel, if they need a place to sleep. But see, we get wiser because we don't give them cash anymore. Amen? We've learned our lessons. And it's sad to say, people will take advantage of your goodness if you're not careful. He says also, not just goodness, but we also have faith. The fruit of the Spirit gives us faith. Do you ever wonder sometimes how your faith got so high? The Bible teaches us that the more we go through, the more that we trust in God, the more faith that we'll have. Your Scripture says that we ought to add faith to faith. That it might increase, that we might be able to stand against the things that comes against us and have faith that God will see us through. Look at our lives, if I can stop here for just a minute. Many of us have faith that God is going to help us. We have faith that God, when we take our last breath, is going to take us home to glory to be with Him. If we have that kind of faith that God is going to do that for us, we had the faith that God would save us, we ought to have the faith that God will do anything that we have need of. Because He said it in His Word. All we have to do is believe His Word. And if we can believe His Word, our faith will grow. And the Spirit of God will give us the fruit, will give us even more faith. I've got more faith today than I had yesterday. Because you see, I see what God brought me through yesterday and what He's brought us through today. You know, all these events that happen all around us, they could be in our backyard. It could be in your house. Instead of getting the good news, you could have got the bad news. We got to have faith that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And the people say, well, you're highly motivated about this tonight. And I'm motivated by it because I know what the fruit of the Spirit can do for us. Sometimes we just give up too easy. We give in too easy. Because we say that happens to everybody else but not me. It can happen to us if we allow the fruit of the Spirit to work in our life. And then He says meekness. The meekest person to ever live was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He allowed them to beat Him beyond recognition. He allowed them to spit upon Him. He allowed them to crucify Him. Meekness means this in the Greek. It means that regardless what everybody does to us, that we will not seek revenge. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, what was His prayer? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even as He was dying, He prayed for them and asked the Father, forgive them. People say, well, I don't know if I could do that. People did all that kind of stuff to me. See what the fruit of the Spirit will do. He'll bring a meekness. You remember Stephen when he was being stoned. He didn't rail against them. He just looked up into the heavens because he knew that's where his help come from. And he didn't say, I see the Lord coming to deliver me from this stoning. He didn't say, I see the Lord coming to give me healing from this stoning. But he said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. See, he wasn't looking for revenge. He was just looking for meekness to lay down his life and go on home to be with the Lord. And then I'll move on to the last one when he talks about temperance. And this is where the fruit of the Spirit really works in our life. When we start talking about temperance, in the Greek, that means self-control. And when we think about self-control, most of us think about, or at least I do, we think about somebody coming against us and us having self-control to walk away or not to get caught up in the fight or the argument that's taking place. But there's more to it than just that. We need to have self-control in that. Now, don't get me wrong. And the fruit of the Spirit will give that to us. But did you know also that when it talks about this temperance, that it also talks about that we ought to be able to control our appetites and passions? And some folks say, oh, Pastor, you was doing all right until you got to that. But how many of us ever sat down and didn't control our appetite and got in trouble for it? You say, how'd you get in trouble? You ever had a bellyache because you ate too much? And some folks would say, you ought not talk about eating. You ought not talking about these things because that's not the way that he means this. Everything. The Bible tells us that there's temperance in everything we do in life. Gluttony is a sin. To overdo anything is wrong in the eyes of God. To take it to the extreme level. We've all been guilty of this. And Jim is one of those people that I look up to because, see, he's got a lot more temperance than I've got. And I don't say that condescending. I'm being open with you tonight. Because how many of us has got more junk at the house than what we have need of? See, Jim's got this philosophy. If he don't use it anymore, he gets rid of it. Don't he, Willie? He packs it out and gets rid of it. And some of us that don't have that kind of temperance, you know what we're doing? We're waiting for it. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's on a natural realm. The fruit of the Spirit gives us to know what we need and what we don't need. Sometimes it's hard to say, I don't need it. Sometimes it's hard to push the plate back on the table. Sometimes it's hard when we look at the things that in life to have self-control over ourselves. See, it's easy for me to control somebody else if they listen to me. It's harder when it comes to me. It's harder. But the same Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And the same Spirit that lives in you lives in me. And it teaches us that we ought to be able to paint a picture. And all this Scripture is doing this tonight. Is that it's painting the picture that we ought to be more Christ-like. Because the more that we are like Christ, the more fruit that of the Spirit of God we'll have in our lives. And the more fruit of the Spirit of God we have, the less we are overwhelmed by everything going on all the way around us. And we don't allow those little things to get under our skin. How many of you in days past used to let things get under your skin and now you look back at them and you say, why did I let that bother me? Now it doesn't bother you. You wish you could go back because your reaction then was different than it is now. I've come to the conclusion of this and I'll close. With the help of the fruit of the Spirit of God, things that people used to say about me that bothered me don't bother me anymore. Amen? I've come to the conclusion I can't please everybody. I can't even please Roger. So you know what my goal in life is? Is try to please my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because He means more to me than even my own life. Because without Him, I have no life. Without Him, I have a terrible spirit. I would have a terrible life. Just imagine your life without God. Imagine your life without the Spirit of God. How terrible would a life like that be? That's why I come tonight just to thank Him that we, together and as individuals, have His Spirit living in our hearts and our lives that can excite us, that can motivate us, that can move us through life, and direct every action and reaction that we have to things all the way around us. Because instead of us letting the circumstances control us, we let the fruit of the Spirit of God control us. And by doing that, people look at us and say, I don't know how they do it. But we know it's not us. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God that's in us that directs us tonight. Brother Robin, Sister Sharon, give us a song of invitation tonight. I want all of the fruit of God that I can get. Some folks might think that I've already violated the temperance that I just spoke about. But folks, there is nothing wrong with us wanting more and more and more of God in our lives. And more of His Spirit. I want more of His Spirit in my life. Something that can control me. Something that can guide our thoughts and our actions. Something that can penetrate down to our hearts, and it's not a show, it's not a front. I like people that are genuine. That no matter when you see them, they're the same. I don't have much room for people that treat me one way one day and another way a different day. You either love me or you don't. Amen? And if we love each other, we can put up with a lot. Because that love that God has placed in our hearts and our lives. I wish the world had more of the fruit of the Spirit of God in their lives. And when I look at them, I say, they can. If only they would get right with God. God can put the same fruit in their lives as what we have. God bless you tonight. I hope you got something from the Word. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you, if you need to come and pray about anything at all in your life, now's the time to do it. Because we need to be able to show the world what a joy and what a privilege it is to be a child of God. While they sing, the fruit of the Spirit of God. He'll give it to us all. He'll increase our fruit. Give us all things, whatsoever it is that we stand in need of. Direct our actions, our motives, our will. Even change your personality. God's able to do all things. Yes. Kneel at the cross. Yes, bless you, Brother Eli. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Some praying there in their pews. God has told us that if there's anything that we lack in our lives, that we can ask Him. And He'll provide it for us. He'll help us with it. And His Spirit, without it, you and I cannot survive. Cannot survive. Yes, leave it all. Amen. Amen. I'll be the first one to confess tonight that I'm not the one that I used to be. I'm not. And I thank God that I'm not. Because He knew how. And you know what? This is terrible to have to admit to. God knew exactly how to bring us down to where He could get our attention and put His will in our lives. And it's sad that God's got to do that. But sometimes our will is just so strong that it takes God to break our spirit so that His Spirit can do the work that He wants it to do in our lives. And I'm ever grateful for how that the Lord has worked with His Spirit. There's nothing that I would want to go back to that the Lord has changed in our lives. I'm quite pleased with the work that God has done. And you know what? Many of you raised your hands when I asked you how many of you knew that I had faults. You know what He's still doing? He's still working on me. He's still working on me. But one day, I'm going to be perfect. There'll be no faults to be found. Because this soul of mine is going to take residence in a glorified body. In a perfect place. To where we'll forever be with our Lord and Savior. tonight. I appreciate y'all coming out on this Wednesday evening. I got in a car today after work, and it said it was 103. So I know it's a hot day, and I do appreciate you taking time to come and be in the house of the Lord. But most of all, I believe God appreciates it, and He will bless you for your efforts tonight. Remember our service Sunday morning? Bring a covered dish. And I joke with y'all about the food. You know that. Pizza's good if you're a kid. That's all I'm going to say about that. But y'all have a good week. Sister Joan, I rejoice with you tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Yes. There's a lot of people praying for you, sis. And I can't express my gratitude to God enough for blessing our sister. And aren't you glad God puts that in your heart to where you just feel overwhelmed when good things happen to your brothers and sisters?